T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Win chips along with the Warriors, and now you see the Raiders leave, and I know the vote is yet to come down, but I'm reading my version of the tea leaves. I heard Cavill on our station last night with Devone and Shamari Block, and it was the same old song. Steiny, I just feel like they're gone, and there's a hole in my heart, not just for them, if that does happen, also the Raiders, because the Greater Bay Area, Dan Dibley, on his finest hour, gave you 5 teams to root for. And you look around the globe, the sports landscape, there's not a lot of cities that, you know, or areas that can have pride like that, to where you're spoiled. And we've been spoiled, but basically to watch this thing eat away and rot away and 2 teams possibly be out of here, we know one is gone with the Raiders, it's sad. I'm using yours, Steiny, it's sad.
No. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Station, and that's all sponsored by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Yeah, I mean, I look at it as we had, what, 2 football teams, 2 baseball teams, the Warriors, and you throw the Sharks in there.
That's
six.
Right.
I mean, 6 teams, and it's going to be down to 4 if the Oakland A's leave for Vegas, and we'll find out more of those details today, whether that's closer to happening or not going to happen. But
question for Dibs, Steiny. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
No, I am.
And this may be unfair, Dibs, but who would be the MVP in this process to keep the A's and get this stadium to get a yes? Would it be the owner of the Oakland Athletics, or would it just be the city? Because what you just described was profound about Oakland's mishaps. Right. I'm wondering who would be the MVP to get this thing home.
If it eventually happens and gets done, I think Dave Cavill would be the most likely, quote, MVP. And part of the problem is a massive distrust of the owner himself. And I was watching a lot of the public comment, which kicked off the hearing, and you heard multiple people talk about the billionaire owner who they don't trust. You don't trust him because of the way he's run his team. And look at what they've done this year, Goo. Ticket prices for A's games are through the roof. Concession stands. I was talking about my trip to the game with my girl, and we bought a round, and it was $52 for 2 beverages. $52.
What?
Yeah. And they're bilking people. Parking is through the roof, and they don't really care. That's why last night they had 15,000 people for an Ohtani appearance. If they really wanted fans there, that thing would have been promoted for the past 2 weeks. It would have been $2 Tuesday. Come out and, you know, cheer on your A's against baseball's best. But they didn't care to do that because they don't really care to promote the product. So the owner is a huge problem in all of this. There's a massive amount of distrust. Plus, when you look at the deal and all of the economic infrastructure question marks, and it's an $11 billion deal when you look at the totality, and that doesn't mean the city has to pay $11 billion, but there's a certain amount of outlay that the city has to do, and they have to trust the A's that the money will be recouped down the road, and there's not a lot of trust, nor should there be, of this owner.
I mean, part of me, Dibs, you know, it would almost be like if the Howard Terminal thing starts to come to fruition. You know, John Fisher, I guess he got his way. I guess he got everything he wanted. And I know you know, you got to kind of put that out of your head for the greater good. I mean, would I like to see a ballpark at Howard Terminal? Yeah, I actually would. But am I holding my breath to see it happen? No. Do I think it's going to happen? I actually don't. I don't think there'll be a ballpark at Howard Terminal in 2027. But and you're right. It's the idea of subsidizing billionaire owners is so unseemly right now. That's a big part of this equation. There's just no doubt about it.
And the idea of subsidizing is not totally accurate, but what they're asking for is for the Jack London area to be designated a special tax district so that the city could then recoup the money that they'll have to lay out for all the infrastructure developments that are going to be done. You know, because you got the train that runs through Jack London, and pedestrian-wise, it's completely unsafe down there. You need to get a couple of overpasses and a couple of walkways. And part of the concerns is that, you know, people in West Oakland feel like they've already been totally uprooted by all of the construction that's gone on. Remember the old Cypress Freeway that ran kind of through toward downtown? Well, they rerouted the freeway to basically bisect West Oakland. And, you know, what that did from a pollution standpoint down there, the air quality in West Oakland is far worse than in Central Oakland and certainly up in the hills. And so there's so many factors, like the amount of traffic in and around Chinatown. How is that affected by a new ballpark? And will there be enough parking? And so many other questions that, you know, that are being asked. And, you know, the A's, it's not their business to solve it, but they're kind of saying, you know, it's Jack London or bust.
Yeah.
Wow.
And from rooted in Oakland to Howard Terminal or bust in about two short months. By the way, this is kind of an aside, but we brought up the Raiders. So Raiders, their president, Mark Bedain, resigned last night.
I saw that,
And Mark Davis put out a press release, and I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever seen anything as embarrassing in my life.
Yeah.
I mean,
when
Dibs, I just picked out one of the two issues.
Yeah.
He sends out this press release, and
I've read it.
He doesn't use periods, nor does he use ellipses.
Mm.
He has each sentence separated by two periods. Not one, not three, but two periods.
Mm.
And that's all I got to in my tweet, and then you reminded me what?
Yeah, capital T in two and capital P in periods, because every word was capitalized. And guys, when I do Last Night in Our League, and I put it in our shared doc, I do it in headline form, where you capitalize every word other than in, a, or, and, the, etc. Those are not capitalized. But in this Raider press release, every word is capitalized. I mean, straight out of second
grade.
You only
do that when you're screaming, right?
Well, at least hit me with all caps, and then you know, then I feel like I'm following Joe Shasky on Twitter.
Yeah,
exactly. Spinone, when do you just say, you know what? I'm no longer a Raider fan.
Wow.
Because of grammar?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Because of incompetence.
Because of an embarrassment. I mean, that honestly is a representation of you. I mean, that's why a lot of fans have turned away from the A's, because their ownership in a different way is a complete embarrassment. And when your guy is capital P, capital F, capital C and Chang's sending a press release from table 9, you got to be embarrassed.
Once the semicolons start coming, maybe I'll hop off.
Okay.
Well, if he can show me he knows how to use a semicolon, that would be an upset. But I don't know what the hell that thing was last night. Well, he should get killed. What he sent out is not English.
It's professional.
I don't know what it is. But it's just, I got to tell you, Kyle, I know you're getting ready to jump in. How can you send out a press? How can any self-respecting human send out that press release?
It was the grammatical version of,
That's good. Like, his buddy should have ripped him. Like, dude, did you do this yourself? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is embarrassing.
I mean, I don't know.
You said self-respecting, Steiny. This is a guy who has the same haircut, same outfit, P.F. Chang's Fraggle every Rock. Single day. Yep. This is pretty on brand, isn't it?
Hey, gets the lettuce wraps. He's got the orange chicken.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
Capital L, capital W in lettuce wraps.
Capital P, capital F in Chang's.
That was Thank bad, you. Though, Don't yeah. steal. That's my bit. That's my Damn. Bit. That came from table 11. If that release was an old school release, Kyle, there would be nacho cheese stain on it.
Oh, that's great.
The other thing, Dibs, is like you said, it's headline format, but it's like the New York Times does that, and that's it. No other newspaper does that. It's just brutal. Win, it's really bad. I would like to know the process that went into that. Like, did he just fire that off on WordPerfect and send it in an email to somebody?
Yes.
Amy Trask was probably embarrassed by that release. Yeah. That's our girl, but yeah.
Anyway, somebody get a proofreader over to the Raiders in a hurry. All right, when we come back, we will continue to monitor the situation with the Oakland City Council vote on the non-binding agreement with the Oakland A's and Howard Terminal. But there is a situation that is really starting to come to a head involving Aaron Rodgers, and I think there's even some tentacles in the Bay Area. I want to get into it. Where are you on Aaron Rodgers? What's this guy doing? We'll talk about it on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. That was Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get to him in a second. But the one thing I wanted to throw at you guys just real quick about this this A situation, and I think this is what Dibs was bringing up in terms of it's not just a stadium, there's a whole area. The 925, Steiny, the A's want to build a community, so it's even more complicated. And you know what? That's the issue, because they've spent 20 years breaking down a community and separating a community and diminishing a community. And now they want a stadium, and now they want to build a community. Well, they've had nothing but kind of ill will toward their own fans for over a decade, and that matters, Dibs. I mean, that matters.
Preach on it, and that's just a great text because I was kind of saying this to the boys behind the glass, Kyle, who is brilliant and great job, Spadone, that if they had a different owner, I would imagine that the public sentiment would be far, far different about what they thought of the viability or the potentiality of the product or the project, rather. If Joe Lacob and Peter Guber owned the team and you saw what, and Goo, you mentioned this a couple months ago, so I am kind of lightweight stealing from you, but I think in general, the public would be more trusting of the plan, because a big part of this is that the A's are telling the city, hey, when you build this and we build all this other stuff around it and you chip in more than a half a billion in infrastructure costs, you're going to get that money back through this, that, and the other thing. And there's a certain amount of distrust and a disbelief between the city council and the Oakland A's ownership.
And growing up in the Bay Area, Steiny and Dibs, you saw when Eddie D was at the height of his heights, and you saw what the Giants group did. When that trust is there, and you look at Joe Lacob and that trust that he has from Dub Nation, I just imagine, man, what if he were the owner of the Oakland A's and people went to bed and woke up thinking, okay, everything's not going to be perfect in Oakland A land, but we got an owner that we can trust, an owner that will invest back into the, you know, resources back into the team and a civic pride. I mean, it's a good feeling. And right now, unfortunately, the town doesn't have that.
No, they don't. And, you know, I also wonder if there's any sliver of hope that that Fisher would sell the team before this process is over.
Well, I think he's more likely to sell the team after the process is over. Yeah. That way the new owner would have more certainty, you know. Yeah. If this goes down and if it fails and then it's, hey, you know, we're moving to Vegas and they get a plan, then maybe at that point he'd be more likely to sell it. But the whole thing, it just is really sad, Goo. And you think about it just on the surface, you know, great, put a ballpark down there. But it's not that easy. And I was just looking at some of the meeting that's going on right now, and they're talking about the changes to the port and what that would do to the ships that come in, because right now it's a two-way port where ships can come in and go out the backside, and they wouldn't be able to do that anymore. So you'd need to have enough room for the ships to turn around, and how important the port itself is to the city of Oakland and the entire region, and how, you know, how those changes would affect it, and all the traffic and the parking and, you know, the ferry and the infrastructure. There's so much to this that, you know, ideally, if the A's would just rebuild at the Coliseum site, it would have been done and done. But that, of course, is never going to happen because the owner doesn't want to be there.
Well, but I wonder if
let's just say pipe dream Lacob would buy the team. I wonder if he'd, if Lacob said, and we're going to redo the Coliseum site. We're going to I guarantee you baseball would then get on board and say, you know what? The Coliseum's viable. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do too.
Absolutely. Especially if they redid it the right way, which would be a variety of housing, both, you know, affordable housing and, you know, market rate housing and the kind of restaurant activity that you would need. But this is the big sticking point, Goo, is that the A's are pitching the city on just how much the stadium will help the surrounding area. But the economics, the economic history of ballparks supporting neighborhood areas, it's not as easy as we are used to seeing it in San Francisco. Like many, many municipalities that have built stadiums hoping to have that same sort of economic revival, they haven't seen it. Like Miami's a great example where around that ballpark, it was supposed to be like what the A's are proposing, where the whole area is going to come up, and it hasn't happened in that fashion. And everyone wants to talk about Denver and the Lodo area, which, you know, the ballpark definitely did revitalize it. And, you know, AT&T Park, China Basin, Oracle Park, rather, that area was going to blow up anyway because there was so much available land for development that I would argue the ballpark didn't necessarily cause the revival. It was a part of it, certainly, but it would have happened anyway.
So I was just going to ask Dibs real quick here, Steiny. If you had to bet, I know Steiny talked about the rack, the $1,000, because you're so knowledgeable on this, but what's your gut telling you, the Dibometer? You think they're gone or they're staying? Even past today.
Yeah, I think they're gone. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, it starts today, because the city council could today vote yes on a non-binding resolution and say, basically, you know what, we're voting yes, but we realize there's a lot of work to go from where the A's are to where we are. And a big piece of this is that the county can weigh in, I believe, August, when they meet, and they can, you know, kind of make up the shortfall between the money, because the A's are saying, basically, we need about $500 million in infrastructure cost, which we're going to give back to you over the next 45 years. And so that's a leap of faith that the city has to take. And, you know, it's a huge leap of faith. And if you look at all the other examples of ballparks, they haven't all portended to neighborhood success and a recouping of tax revenue. Now, I think Oakland would possibly be more likely to do so, because we've all been down there in the Jack London area. It is way more developed than it used to be, and it continues to grow. And if there was a ballpark down there and it was done right, and the infrastructure was improved to where it becomes more pedestrian friendly, because Steiny and I talked about this a lot. If you want to go from the Warriors' old facility, downtown Oakland, 14th and Broadway, if you want to walk down to Jack London Square, which is basically first in Broadway, it's not exactly the most pleasant, say, like you wouldn't make that walk at night, for example, as a single person. It just isn't that safe. So there's a lot of those sort of infrastructure things that need to change anyway. And the A's are saying, you pay for it and you'll get your money back. And the city is balking at that. But the county could theoretically come in and help out with some of that in, you know, make up the difference. But they can't do that until August. So it's a long way to say, I'm hoping they vote yes today, a yes, but kind of vote. And we can continue to maybe keep this thing alive.
And you got the police station on that trek, Steiny.
Yeah.
From 1st to 14th, and you're still not safe, you know?
Right, man. Right. You know what I'm wondering about is, Let's say you're a Giants fan. I'm going to throw this out at 888-957-9570. I think it's safe to assume if you're the Giants organization, say you're Larry Bear, I don't know that you want the A's to leave, but you're not crying if they do. I'm more interested in Giants fans, believe it or not. I know how A's fans feel. But if you're a Giants fan, do you have any skin in the game regarding the A's staying or going? Do you not care? Do you care? I think there's probably Giants fans out there, Dibs and Goo, that quite frankly want the A's to stay.
Yeah.
Just because it's a nice luxury, a nice convenience to have two teams in the area. I'm sure a lot of Giants fans would be like, yeah, we love the A's as long as they're second fiddle. But, I don't think the A's will ever become first fiddle. I think it is like a Clippers-Lakers situation. But I don't know. If I'm a Giants fan, I think I want the A's to stick around. I think it's just kind of – it's good for business.
And I don't think, you know, anything the A's are doing are hurting Giant fans, per se. Life has been good. But just from the standpoint of pride, Dibs, I'm from the Yay, and I got American League Baseball on any other day at my disposal. I don't even got to go to the games. I just, as a fan, as a baseball fan, I want that element, you know, to be an option for me or anybody else, knowing it's not affecting my team and its bottom line. Ohtani's pitching. Oh, he playing the Giants? Nah, it's American League. He's playing the A's, but I'm in the Bay, and we got two teams. So
yeah.
I would think a real fan would be keen on having the team stay, the A's.
Absolutely. And, you know, to have more rivals is better than having fewer rivals, and that's where the Niners not having the Raiders here anymore – I think it hurts them because, yeah, some fans will come over and be Niner fans. And, if you have a kid who's 3 years old today and they grow up with no A's, if the A's leave and the only team is the Giants, well, they could be a Giants fan. But if the parents are A's fans, you're more likely than not to not be Giants fans. To me, having a rival, having a competitor, it makes everybody raise their game. And, you know, the fact that the Niners and Raiders would play once every 4 years, and that game was huge, and they'd play in the preseason, and unfortunately, a few bad apples kind of ruined that for the rest of us. But the Giants and A's, the Bay Bridge series, guys, that goes away. Oof. You can still have them play twice a year in Interleague, but don't miss the Giants heading to the desert to take on Vegas. Hit the pike with that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I don't think – and I think the A's are way different than the Raiders. I think there's a small percentage of Raider fans who – and I've heard this frequently, and obviously Spadone may be one of them. Raiders for life. You don't care where they are, yeah. Right? Yeah, even if they're playing in Timbuktu. I've never understood that. But nevertheless, I don't want to get into the psyche of a Raiders fan, or more specifically our guy Spadone. But A's go to Vegas. I don't see a lot of A's fans saying I'm still going to root for him. I mean, and Dibs, you brought up a great point in the pre-show meeting. If you're an Oakland Raider fan and they leave and go to Vegas, you know what? You could pop down to Vegas a couple times a year, support your team still. And there's something about those Sunday football games. We all have teams that we like in outside of the area. Baseball's not the same, though, that way.
Right, and, you know, the motivation to go to an A's series, let's say the A's move to Vegas, which, God, I hope they don't, and there was actually a little bit of good news coming out of the meeting. I'll update you in a few minutes as to, it's just a little tidbit that may encourage A's fans.
Take what we can get right now, yeah.
Totally, Goo. If the A's are playing Cleveland in Vegas in early August, you're not going to be that inclined to go out there. For one thing, you're going to be in an indoor baseball stadium, most likely, with a retractable roof in Vegas. You can't play outside in 110-degree heat. And baseball doesn't work like that. Baseball is not usually a destination sensation. And if it is, you go maybe one series a year. If you're a person who goes to 20 A's games a year, one-fourth of the home schedule, you're a diehard fan. You're a real one. Yeah. You're not going to 20 games in Vegas. You might go to two or three on a weekend. And, you know, part of being a baseball fan, the biggest part to me is going to the game. That's where the fun is. Watching it on TV, you know, football is once a week. You'll lock in for 3 hours for your team. You know, if your team's out of market, you're less likely to really lock in on them more than occasionally.
But with the internet, Steiny and Dibs, and these packages, if you do root for a team that's out of market, you that's almost like your season tickets, you know, your investment. And Steiny, I disagree with you on this, because the Raiders, to me, is the example. They didn't leave just once. Oakland residents had to go through it twice. I don't hold, or I wouldn't, a diehard fan at my core, I don't hold the players accountable for what the owners do or don't do. So if they moved, I have too much time and emotion invested in the team and the organization that wherever they go, it can be Timbuktu, Dibs, I'm following them. And come right on. Now, I'm selling really? You on with electronics and the TV packages. You can be as close to a team now than ever, but I would never do the breakup because of what happened upstairs if the team was like the Raiders. Let's put the right on the table. How many Oakland fans have really turned in their Raider card? All the friends and family I know, I mean, I don't know too many that have said, F it, I'm not a Raider fan anymore.
Well, again, really? It's baseball and football is totally different because football is a once a week, it's an affair. When you're a football fan, it's an affair. When you're a baseball fan, it's a marriage. And if you're going to go long-distance romance with your baseball team, okay.
I have a wife.
Seriously, and my wife is the Oakland A's, and I see her, you know, 25 to 30 times a year. I go out to the Collie, and I see my friends in my section, and that's part of the relationship as a baseball fan. And if they move to Vegas, yeah, you'll still lock in on it. And you'll still be a fan, and you may watch all the games on TV like usual,
right.
But you're certainly not going to add any more fans. And I would argue, Goo, that year after year, you're going to see fewer and fewer Oakland Raider fans or Las Vegas Raider fans as time goes on, because you're not going to have that same connection.
Yeah, I mean, I just, as it pertains to the Raiders, Goo, I just, I go with Dibs and our guy, Derek, who's a huge Raider fan, and we've gone to his tailgates at the BART parking lot.
It's incredible.
I'm telling you, 100 people are just at his, or I should say theirs. And there's a lot of people in there that are just like, he's done. He's done. You know, we'll keep an eye on him.
Oh, he turned in his car. He's on.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. He's done. He's done with the Raiders. And here's the other thing. Here's what I can't imagine is the A's leaving Oakland, in large part because of their owner, John Fisher, and then John Fisher gets a sweetheart deal in Vegas.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, how could you even root for that team? I get it's not about the owner. I'm not rooting for John. It's hard to root for John Fisher in Oakland.
I understand you.
And you live in Oakland. Who the hell's going to root for John Fisher and the A's in Vegas living in Oakland?
How many Seattle Supersonics fans donned the Oklahoma City Thunder jersey?
No, that's a great
when, what's his face, moved them out of town down to OKC?
Clay and Bennett, I think.
Thank you,
Steiny.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I knew you had my back, Mr. NBA.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
He actually is, Spadoni. You can't play that when he's really doing a good job. That kind of undermines the nature of the drop.
Matt knows because he covered a team for years.
Thank you. That actually plays much better because that's Fitz praising him, and the heck of a job Steinmetz is when we want to get under his skin. But one piece of good news, guys, from the meeting, and this is from Andrea Nakano at Andrea KPIX, good sports reporter. She says, the offsite infrastructure, which is the main sticking point in all this, it may be paid for by state and federal grants. A lot more to negotiate, but looking positive so far. So one little piece that could come out of this. The big sticking point is, like I was saying earlier, that infrastructure shortfall. If state and federal grants can make up the difference, then the city council theoretically would be more likely to go along with the term sheet that the A's proposed.
And that's where the county comes in. Could come in, right?
State and federal grants. And this is where, you know, many people in West Oakland and also Chinatown, they're not thrilled with what's already happened from an infrastructure standpoint. I mentioned it before, the Cypress structure being replaced by the 880 extension, which basically is an eyesore. If you live in West Oakland, no, not even the 980, Goo, the 880 that comes off of the maze. You remember you used to have to go... Okay. You used to have to go toward the sawmill, and then you would cut across downtown, and you would join up the 880. You remember that, pre-90. Yeah. And then when the Cypress collapsed, they built that new, very convenient, by the way, the 880 piece that goes from the Bay Bridge along the port and drops you basically at Jack London Square.
Okay,
that,
gotcha.
That structure was basically a middle finger to the people of West Oakland. Like, you know, you don't matter. We're just going to pop this freeway right in the middle of your community. And so, you know, that's why there's some mistrust there as well.
Wow.
Can I put the rat on the table?
Third rat?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to make it a rat. It's not the rat. It's a rat. And here's the thing. I think, and this is where I have a neighbor, Drew, who's very involved in this process. He's got two sons who are huge baseball fans. And my worry is that there's so much water under the bridge and lots of other stuff, too, as Bob Dylan would say, that a new stadium does not cure it all. Like, what I'm most worried about is that they build this stadium and they still don't get a lot of fans. That's actually my biggest concern, because the ownership is still going to be the same. Does anybody really believe that if they build Howard Terminal, all of a sudden the A's are going to...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Spend money. Hit the pike. They're not going to spend money after they build a stadium. They're going to run the team the exact same way. And that gets back to exactly what Dibs was saying, the trust factor with the owner. I don't have any. Right. I don't have any confidence that this team will turn around. Why? Because of a stadium? Because of a stadium. That doesn't change the ownership.
Yeah, which is the ownership is primarily interested in making money, which is why when they were on the teat, suckling off MLB for all those years,
the welfare,
and they were getting 30 and 40 million a year, they didn't put that into the payroll. They put that into the pockets. But to your point, Steiny, about attendance, the capacity at Howard Terminal is only about 30,000. They're building a micro stadium,
wow.
But this project is more about everything else, the office complex, the waterfront parks, the infrastructure. The ballpark itself is but a small piece in an overall puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, is that really? Let me double check that, because 30,000 sounds a little low, and I wonder, I mean, a 30,000 seat ballpark.
I love it when you fact check me.
I mean, you're getting 5 and 7,000 on some nights. Yeah, 30 might be about right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll figure that out later. We can look at it
later. But good news, Dibs. That was a little good nugget.
Yeah, thank you. 35,000, Steiny, is the official number.
And I got to believe 35,000 would be the smallest stadium in all of baseball.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, and I'm the kind – this, you want to talk about a non sequitur, but you know how when people talk about officials and they say, oh, the Warriors under Scott Foster, they're 0-7.
Yeah, you
they
don't
have
like
the worst
that.
Record under Scott Foster. It's like, you do realize that there's going to be a ref that's the best for you, and there's going to be a ref that's the worst for you, and there's going to be refs in the middle and all. So it's like, so what? If, of course, every team's going to have a ref that does them, you know, where their record's terrible.
And so speaking of Scott Foster,
he'll
be doing his too short tonight. Blow the whistle. Yeah.
Wow.
He got the assignment. So everybody wants to hate on Scott Foster. The league looks at him and says, Game 6, biggest game of the year to date. We're going to you, number 48. So back off, Foster.
Yeah, Scott Foster.
It'll be over tonight.
I kind of love that, though, to tell you the truth. And it's just, it's kind of the way it is. Most fans can't stand Scott Foster, and yet there he is, playoff game after
front
playoff
center.
Game, reffing the biggest games in the league, and it's because he's one of the best officials in the game, whether you like it or not. He just is. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to get this earlier, but I still want to hit it on Aaron Rodgers. And what do you do if you're the Green Bay Packers? They got a guy who clearly doesn't want to be there, but who maybe doesn't have the guts to say, I don't want to be there. Aaron Rodgers, is he on your radar if you're a San Francisco 49er fan? But there's also a tie-in to Jimmy Garoppolo that I want to bring up on the other side. And then we'll talk about that as soon as we get back on 95.7 The Game.
There's always one party pooper, and today it's you.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. We are heading into the late second hour of the show. Looking forward to doing that. The Giants, of course, start their series against the Dodgers last night with a 7-2 win. Tonight's ball game, they play. They're going up against Josiah Gray, who's making his major league debut. He'll go up against Alex Wood. And Giants win tonight, and they guarantee themselves a split already. We're also talking about the A's big vote today by the Oakland City Council, non-binding vote on Howard Terminal. And there's another thing I want to talk about. Came out today, Adam Schefter reported that Aaron Rodgers declined a contract extension in the past few weeks with the Green Bay Packers. And what do we got? Training camp coming up in a little over a week. And I guess nobody knows what Rodgers is going to do. A week ago, a little more, he was in that golf challenge with Tom Brady and DeChambeau and Phil Mickelson, and Brian Anderson, a friend of the program, asked Aaron Rodgers about his status. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but Aaron Rodgers was riding around in the car just saying, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. And I've been kind of down on Rodgers since the beginning of this process when they drafted Jordan Love. But I was imagining I was a teammate of Aaron Rodgers watching that event and watching him in his golf cart saying, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Like, we'll see what? Whether you're going to report or not? I mean, I don't know. I think you owe more to your teammates than hanging them out to dry to see if you're going to show up with, you know, with a week left before training camp. I'm down on Aaron Rodgers right now.
Well, I had actually been Cheech and Chong, guys. I'd been high on him. Not just what he does on the field, but just I thought they stabbed him in the back with the drafting of Jordan Love. But what's going on now? There's a rat on the table. If you don't love the game or you don't want to play, just be a man and come out and say so. This is not flag football, Aaron. You're not going to a new team at this juncture. Hey, Dibs, run deep. Stein, you come across the middle. Break. It don't work like that. You had ample time to say, stick your chest out. I want up out of here and get a new team. Let the bargaining begin. But Dibs, he chose not to do that. Now, maybe I'll owe him an apology in a week or so, but Steiny's right. How dare you hijack the franchise to where obviously they want to keep you. You want people fired, but I'm starting to really think this dude wants to go Whitey Gleason and do Jeopardy. This is really what he wants to do, and he's doing it in a way that's hurting his current team, his current players. And I just don't like it. It's like, dude, get off the pot if you're not, you know, finished the rest.
Oh, yeah.
And it just stinks. I don't like it. And the guy I thought I knew, you see Tom Brady playing with MCL or whatever was torn. That's the love of the game. A-Rod, if you're done, just come out and say it so the Packers can move on. But to wake up this morning and find out they offered you a contract to keep you in town for 5 more years, what are you sniffing at? Man up and make a decision or call it quits.
Prince had a great song, Goo. Money didn't matter tonight, and it sure didn't matter yesterday. And just when you think you've got more than enough, that's when it all up and flies away. And in this case, money don't matter to Aaron Rodgers. He's made all the money he can make. What matters to Aaron is having another chance to go out and win the Super Bowl. And he doesn't feel like their situation is such that they have a great chance to win the Super Bowl. I mean, they got close last year, conference championship game. And I would tell you, if you gave him truth serum, he feels like the coaching staff deprived him a chance of winning that game by going out and trying for the field goal, and you never got the ball back, and you flat lost the game. So I think he's just fed up with Green Bay, and that's why he turned down their huge offer to make him the highest paid player in the entire National Football League. And I'm not saying that I applaud him for it, because I don't, but this is what sports has become. Star player plays well, star player gets disgruntled, star player makes it untenable, so the team has to get rid of him, and then they go out and they trade him. And it's a little different in football because you can't be such a plug-and-play guy, but look around the association and what James Harden was able to do, and Damian Lillard right now is playing a little cat and mouse with his city, and what's Portland without Dame? They're nothing. It's the same as the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. And Kyle, our producer, mentioned this in the call. Week 3, Niners home opener. Don't miss Jordan Love and the new look Packers at Levi's Stadium. It's just not, it won't be the same. But, you know, if Rodgers doesn't want to be there anymore, then do what you got to do, 12. And if we don't trade you, if we don't feel like we can trade you and you want to sit out, we'll fine you and you don't have to play ball.
Do you think the Jeopardy thing is real? Because his girl just came out and said, guys, he's watching 5-6 hours. He's like binge watching Jeopardy. And you know, like he can see that in his future. And I'm like, well, everything he's doing, Dibs and Steiny, is like there is no football. Dude, 8 days, 9 days before they report. Dibs, the Packers drafted Love for a reason. I'm starting to think, okay, sit your ass at home. We'll roll the rookie out. We would prefer you, but we ain't going to be crying if you sit here. Like, I'm going Avengers. What's the end game form?
For Rodgers, the end game is not Jeopardy. I don't think he's getting that job. He doesn't have the TV chops, nor does he have the crossover appeal to get that gig. I mean, you look at athletes who are hosting their own shows. Michael Strahan and that beautiful gap. He took him some time to get to that level. And Jeopardy, quite frankly, is on par with the biggest shows in the world. When you think about the syndication of it and the amount of money they put into that show. So it'd be one thing for him to stumble into a second or third tier game show. But this is the biggest of the big. It's Jeopardy and it's Wheel of Fortune. And then it's everyone else. So I don't think he has much of a chance of getting that gig. So he's probably using that for leverage for the Packers. Oh, I'll retire. I'll go do Jeopardy. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead and do Jeopardy. I don't see that as being that viable. Now, is there another team out there that would send multiple first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers? Probably, but if I'm a team, I'm going to wait and see and let this thing burn for a little while and watch that price come down.
Let me tell you who's getting that Jeopardy job. Robin Roberts. That's who's getting it. And she's a big boy. I mean, she is.
Why do you think she's getting it? Because I root for LeVar Burton.
She's great.
I don't know why.
Because she's great. Because she's really, really well-loved and respected. She's great at her craft. I'm a big Robin Roberts fan.
Yeah, LeVar Burton, greater than Aaron Rodgers, and he's got better TV chops with the aforementioned Reading Rainbow. I'm sure you remember that, guys, when you had kids. Yeah.
I'm a Roots guy as opposed to the Reading Rainbow.
Take a look, read a book, Reading Rainbow.
Oh.
Yeah, the Channel 9 thing. I wouldn't expect
KQED.
A nuanced individualist like yourself to know much about public television.
Because the more you know.
That's a jab at me, Goop, but I can live with it.
We
got a Carson Palmer situation, I think. That's what I think. I think he's gonna retire or just not play, but he can't go anywhere because he's still under contract with the Packers. They just won't pay him, and then eventually something will come up. I think he's come to a place now where if he shows up at training camp, is that better than him not showing up at this point? I mean, I guess the easy answer is, of course it is, but can he really show up and be like, all right, guys, let's go win a Super Bowl. Forget this summer.
Yeah,
and what
I think so, because we've seen it all the time. And if I'm Devontae Adams, Dibs, I know we were four quarters away from getting to the Super Bowl. What's the whole thing? You don't talk about the next man's money. So he is the big dog if he were to come back. I'm hoping that, because as a football fan, we all lose out. Who would I draft with my number one pick in my number 10 fantasy leagues? But, Dibs, that would be nothing. He could come back a day before camp, and nobody would be looking at him sideways. And if I'm a player, I'm like, oh, we got action. 12 is in the building.
I wonder how much of this is really just about Jordan Love getting selected, or it's got to be more than that. I think that's only a part of it. I think he's obviously down on the front office and what they've done. And I just think of Garoppolo a little bit, and I get it. Garoppolo does not have the stature of an Aaron Rodgers. You think he'd do something like this, Garoppolo? Or how about this? How about somebody that does have the stature of an Aaron Rodgers? Is there any comparison to a guy like Steph Curry? Okay, Steph Curry can sign a contract extension this summer. What are the odds that Curry says, you know what, I'm turning that down. Let's see. Show me that you're committed to winning in the next 3 years. I mean, it almost seems like Curry would never, ever do anything like that. And yet he has the juice to do it.
I've got on here screaming and hollering, fellas, about defending Aaron Rodgers and that Jordan Love pick. But what we're forgetting and what you guys haven't brought up, Dibs, what if Steph Curry told the Warriors last year to draft James Wiseman? He specifically asked him to draft James Wiseman, and they go LaMelo Ball. That bruise or that hurt, that pain doesn't go away, so it would justify, you know, the actions from Steph Curry after that. So to me, it's not just, you know, it's a difference. They stabbed him in the back to a degree. They drafted a position they had no business drafting in his mind when he's still playing at the MVP level. So if that was done to Steph, I don't think people would be criticizing Steph.
Steph would never say a word about it, because that's
right.
Who Steph is. And at the same time, I don't know if the Warriors would have been as negligent as the Packers have with their draft picks. And since they drafted Aaron Rodgers, how many skill position guys do you think they've drafted in the first round?
I got the answer.
Tell them, Goo. Tell them.
Zero.
The answer is zero. This year you drafted a DB, Jordan Love last year, and before that, in order, it's linebacker, safety, cornerback, defensive tackle, safety, defensive back, defensive end. Then you go defensive end, tackle. You get the point. You get the pattern, a tackle, a D tackle. Jordy Nelson was the top pick in the second round back in 2008. And before that, you go back to Aaron Rodgers in 2005. So he's looking around thinking, You've done nothing to help me with first round talent. You know, the guys they had this year outside of Devontae Adams, you didn't have much. You haven't had a run game since Ahmad Green left some 15 or 20 years ago. So I get his frustration. Now, the way he's going about it, I don't necessarily think that's the best way. Pretty passive aggressive. But again, in this modern sports world, this is what we do as star players. We play, we get fed up, we force our way out, and we move on.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.